Oh, once like a bird in prison I dwelt. No freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me. And glory to God, He set me free. Oh, He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. And glory to God, He set me free. Oh, and He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bond of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. And now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. Well, my feet are planted on higher ground. And glory to God, I'm homeward bound. Oh, He set me free. Come on, sing it. Oh, I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. He set me free. He broke the pot of prison for me. And I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Oh, somebody glorify the name of the Lord. Oh, yes. To God. Now the Word of God says, He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I'm telling you this afternoon, friend, when the Son of God sets somebody free, He's really free. Can somebody say hallelujah? Now, there's some things that I've been set free from, Brother Abbott. Number one, I've been set free from the person of sin, from the devil himself. He no longer has a hold on my life. No longer am I a servant to the devil, but now I'm a servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been set free from the person of sin. Not only have I been set free from the person of sin, I've been set free from the power of sin. How many knows what I'm talking about this afternoon? Drug addiction doesn't have a hold on us anymore. Alcohol doesn't have a hold on us anymore. Nicotine doesn't have a hold on us anymore. Sin doesn't have a hold on us anymore. We're not a slave to sin. We've been set free from the power of sin. Oh, but not only have I been set free from the person of sin, not only have I been set free from the power of sin, but thank God I've been set free from the penalty of sin. The Word of God says that the penalty of sin, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Oh, goodbye to sin. And things that confound and not of this old world is ever gonna turn me around. And daily I'm working. I said daily I'm working. And I'm praying to I'm going to, oh, He set me free. Glory bound, my Jesus to see, and glory to God. Come on, sing it, saints. He set me free. He set me free. He broke the the prize, a prison for me. And glory found my Jesus to see. For glory to God. One more time now, he set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds, a prison for me. And glory found my Jesus to see. We gotta do it just one more time. He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds, a prison for me. And glory found my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Oh, somebody glorify the Lord. Blessed Lord. As you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, I want to say what an honor it is to be asked to preach this afternoon. Had no idea that I was going to preach, but thank God I'm so glad to be able to preach. Came to camp meeting this year and had all my shoes shined up, the suits clean, shirts pressed. As soon as I walked in, Brother Bishop got me and said, You're on patrol this week. So I've been wearing that yellow jacket all week long. Hadn't got to wear a suit or a shirt, shine my shoes, but I'm glad I'm at camp meeting. Amen. I was standing around at the back of the tent last night, and Brother Bishop come riding up, and I looked at him. I said, you know what, I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to go to camp meeting. Don't know why anybody wouldn't want to go to camp meeting. I love camp meeting. I love camp meeting spirit. Amen. I like what I feel around this place this afternoon. How many knows what I'm talking about? You like what you feel around this place. Amen. Acts chapter 1, we're going to begin reading at verse 12. Acts chapter 1 and verse 12. The word of God says, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. When they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all of the house where they were sitting. Wouldn't you like it to just fill this entire tabernacle this afternoon? And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And can somebody say praise the Lord for the reading of His Word this afternoon? Oh, hallelujah. 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 I wonder if you'd take those Bibles. Please don't close them. Just put them on that chair behind you. I want us to lift our hands together. I want us to lift our voices right now toward heaven. Let's call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is in this house. The Spirit of the Lord is under this tent. The Spirit of the Lord is in this tabernacle. Let's call upon the name of the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Pray. Praise the Lord. Spirit of God, anoint us to preach. Not only anoint us to preach, but God, anoint the ears of this congregation, Lord, to receive your word with readiness of heart and of mind. And we pray it all in the wonderful name of Jesus for your honor and for your glory. And the church said, amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord one more time. Praise the Lord. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Pentecost means 50. Pentecost was actually a Jewish feast that took place 50 days after the Passover. And it was during this feast of Pentecost that the Holy Ghost fell for the very first time. And anybody that wanted to receive it could receive it. And those that did receive it, the Word of God says, spoke with other tongues, or rather they spoke in other unlearned languages, and they magnified God. Oh, hallelujah. Now, this was not the only time in Scripture that this great infilling of the Holy Ghost and this experience of speaking with other tongues was mentioned in the Word of God, because this experience or this manifestation was actually prophesied about in Old Testament times hundreds of years before it happened here in the second chapter of the book of Acts. Why, it was an Old Testament prophet by the name of Isaiah in chapter 28 and verse 11 of his writing that said, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." Oh, praise the name of the Lord. As Peter stood up on that day at Pentecost and he began to preach, he actually quoted an Old Testament prophet by the name of Joel. And he was quoting Joel's prophecy, chapter 2 and verses 28 and 29, when he said, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad to know this afternoon that in 1998, God is still raining down Holy Ghost power upon all flesh. And he's doing it in this camp meeting this week. My God, somebody clap your hands and glorify him right now. Jesus himself talked about this experience in Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. Jesus' word said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues." He actually told his disciples in Luke 24 and 49 not to leave Jerusalem until they had received it. But his said, "Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." I don't know about you this afternoon, saint of God, but I'm so glad that I've received that power from on high. I'm glad I've got the Holy Ghost in power. I'm glad I've got the Holy Ghost in fire. I'm glad I talk in tongues. I'm glad to be an apostolic Pentecostal believer in 1998. Well, if you're glad to be an apostolic believer, clap your hands and magnify him. Not only was this great infilling of the Holy Ghost spoken here in our text, not only was it prophesied about hundreds of years before it happened, not only did Jesus himself talk about it, but this experience is actually recorded several times here in the book of Acts. The Word of God tells us in Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that the Samaritans had received the Word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John so that they could lay their hands upon them so that they could receive this great infilling of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 46, the Word of God says that while Peter was preaching at the house of Cornelius, right in the middle of his message, the Word of God said the Spirit of God fell,
and they received it. Hallelujah. And they spoke with other tongues and magnified God, and He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, the Word of God says that as Paul was passing through the upper coast, he came to certain believers at Ephesus, and he asked them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" They said, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." He said, "Unto what then were you baptized?" They said, "Unto John's baptism." He said, "Well, if you would have been listening to John very closely, you would have heard him say that he was only baptizing with a baptism of repentance, but there was coming one after him whose shoes he was not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Oh, hallelujah. And the Word of God said when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they received the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues, and they prophesied. Oh, somebody help me worship Him. Now it is because the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. That is the reason that you and I today are known as Pentecostals. If you have been baptized in Jesus' name, if you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and if you speak with other tongues, you are known as a Pentecostal. Can somebody say amen? And for those of you who at one time or another, you might have belonged to the Roman church. You might have belonged to the Roman church. You might have prayed a prayer something like this. "Mary, Mother of God, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus." Can I remind you that if you were to turn back over to chapter 1 of the book of Acts and look long about verse 14, you would find that Mary was among those in the upper room. Mary was among those that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Mary was among those that was talking in tongues. I'm telling you this afternoon, Mary was a Pentecostal. Can somebody say hallelujah? I'm telling you, 1998, I don't have to clear my throat first to tell anybody I'm a tongue talker. I don't clear my throat first to tell anybody I'm an apostolic believer. I don't clear my throat first to tell anybody that I'm a Pentecostal. I'm proud to be a one God, apostolic, tongue talking, Holy Ghost, Pentecostal believer. My Lord, somebody clap your hands and glorify the name of the Lord. I wasn't always brought up in this great apostolic way, Pentecostal way. My dad, to this day, pastors a Baptist church back in the state of Alabama. Many years he pastored here in the state of California. He's regional coordinator for the Accelerated Christian Education right here, California, Nevada. When I was about 13 years old, we moved back to the state of Alabama where I'm originally from. Today, he pastors a Baptist church back there in the state of Alabama. I was at school one day. I was 13 years old at school one day. A friend of mine came up to me at school and said, "Hey, Tom, there's a camp meeting going on downtown." He said, "Would you like to go to that camp meeting?" First thing I said, "What's a camp meeting?" Our church didn't have camp meetings, and I didn't know what a camp meeting was. I said, "What's a camp meeting?" He said, "Well, a camp meeting is like a big revival service where a bunch of churches get together and they have church all together." He said, "Would you like to go to that camp meeting?" I said, "Well, who's putting the camp meeting on? Who's sponsoring it? What group putting on?" And he called the name of the particular Pentecostal organization. He said, "They're putting it on." He said, "Would you like to go?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd like to go. I've heard a whole lot about the way those folks used to act, or the way they act when they go to church. I've heard a lot about the way they're supposed to act when they go to church. I hear that when they go to church, they like to run and scream and hop aisles or hop rows and run aisles and all that. And I've heard a whole lot about them, and I'd like to go and see if they really act like that." And he said, "Okay, we'll go down to that camp meeting. We'll just see if they really act like that." And I said, "Okay, let's go." So on Monday night, we went down there. I wasn't old enough to drive. Dad was having to drop us off, pick us up. And he dropped us off on Monday night. We came in. We sat on the very back row of chairs that they had in that big old civic center that they had converted into a tabernacle for that week of camp meeting. We came in, sat on that very back row of chairs, and we watched those folks as they came in. And I remember about the time that that lady played the first note on that big old Hammond organ. I remember those folks jumped to their feet and their hands went in the air, and they started juking and jiving and running and shouting and acting the way Pentecostal folks ought to act when they go to the house of God. Can somebody say hallelujah? My eyes got about as big as saucers. I mean, I must have looked like a raccoon looking at an oncoming truck headlights. I'd never seen anything like that before in my life. And we were sitting there poking each other in the ribs and saying, look at that over there, look at that, look at the way she's like, look what they're doing over there. Have you ever seen anything like that before? I mean, we'd never seen anything like that before in our life. I mean, this was better than anything on television. I mean, this was better than anything down at the movie house. This was better than anything down at the ball field. I mean, this is the best thing we'd seen all week long. You hear me tonight saying to God, or this afternoon rather, I still believe that what goes on in Apostolic Church is better than anything on television. I still believe that what's going on under this tent is better than anything down at the ball field. I still think that what's going on in this apostolic tent, this gospel tent, is better than anything down at a ball diamond or a ball field. I'm telling you, this is the most exciting thing in Santa Maria, California. What's going on under this big old tent is the most exciting thing that's going on in this city. You can sit down. We liked it so much that we came back on Tuesday night. And if it was possible for them to get any wilder on Tuesday night than they got a wilder Sunday night or Monday night, they did. They got wilder on Tuesday night. We liked it so much that we came back on Wednesday night, and we came back on Thursday night, and we came back on Friday night. We didn't miss one night of that camp meeting. Not one night. Not one night did we miss of that camp meeting. Only reason we went, Brother Abbott, was just to make fun of what was going on. We didn't go because we liked the preacher. We didn't go because we liked the singing. We just went because we were going to make fun at what was going on. You hear me this afternoon, saint. I don't care for what reason they come to our churches. I don't care for what reason they come. They may come just to see the show. My God, I hope there's a show for them to see. They may come just to see the show. They may just come to see you shout. But I got enough confidence in my God that if we can get them in an apostolic church and preach to them this Acts 2:38 message, I believe God will fill them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yes! I remember on Friday night of that camp meeting, that preacher got up and preached, and he preached about an experience I'd never had before in my life. He preached about an experience of how you can come down to an altar, you can give your heart over to the Lord, you can repent of your sins and give everything you've got over to the Lord, and the Spirit of God Himself will come to reside inside of your heart and in your soul. I remember Jimmy, my friend, that was going to that camp meeting with me. He was standing between me and that middle aisle going down to the altar. And I remember that preacher gave that altar call and invited people to come down around the altars and seek for the Holy Ghost. And I remember I leaned over to Jimmy and I said, Jimmy, get out of my way. I'm going down to that altar. I remember Jimmy looked at me and he said, are you crazy? I said, I might be, but I'm going to go and find out if there's anything to this or not. Hallelujah. And I remember I walked down that aisle to that altar. You see, we used to sing an old song in Pentecost. We don't sing it much anymore. We used to sing it a whole lot. I'm going to start singing it a whole lot. But I can really sing this old song. Oh, something got hold of me. I said, something got hold of me. I can really sing it. I went there to fight. But oh my, that night, something got hold of me. Oh, I said, something got hold of me. I said, something got hold of me. I went there to fight. But oh my, that night, something got hold of me. you. And if you'll let God do it, He'll get a hold of you under this big old tent this afternoon. He'll turn you every which way but loose. The Spirit of God will come on you and give you a fresh touch of the Spirit of God. I got somebody reach a hand up and say, God, get a hold of me this afternoon. Come on, there's some saints that God needs to get a hold of you this afternoon. There's some sinners God needs to get a hold of you this afternoon. There's some backsliders God needs to get a hold of you this afternoon. God needs to touch you. God needs to fill you. God needs to reclaim you. The Spirit of God needs to touch you one more time. I walked down that altar. They had an altar bench on this side. They had an altar bench on this side. I came down and I knelt down on this at this altar bench right over here. And as soon as I knelt down at that altar bench right there, I mean they all gathered around me, all the way around me, on this side of the altar and that side of the altar. I didn't have a running chance. I couldn't have got away if I wanted to. And I remember I knelt down at that altar and I felt the Lord. I was crying a little bit. And I felt the power of the Lord, and I prayed a little prayer, something like this. I said, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Forgive me, cleanse me, come into my heart. And save me in Jesus' name, amen. And that was about the length of it. That's all I knew how to pray in my dad's church. That's all we knew how to pray. That's all we knew to do. And that was the length of my prayer. And I felt a little touch of the Lord, and it was so much more than anything I'd ever felt before in my life. So I thought, surely, certainly, this must be everything that they're talking about. This must be what everybody's shouting about. Because I felt a little touch of the Lord, and so I thought, that this must be it. And so I started to wipe my face, and I got up out of that altar, and there was a little lady that was on the other side of that altar from me. And she saw me starting to get up out of that altar, Brother Abbott, and she reached across that altar, and she put her hand on my shoulder like that, and literally pushed me back down the altar, and said, you ain't through praying yet. She said, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I thought, well, bless God, if she's that convinced that I need it, I better get it. And so I did everything that they told me to do. I mean, I did everything they told me to do. Everything they told me to do. They told me to shout glory, I shouted glory. They told me to hop around on one foot, I hopped around on one foot. They told me to twirl around in circles, I was twirling around in circles on one foot saying glory. But thank God I knew what I wanted, and I wasn't going to leave there until I got what I wanted from the Lord. Come on, I'm convinced that you want something from the Lord. From time to time, you'll get up out of that old chair and you'll lift those hands to the Lord and say, God, give me a fresh touch of the Spirit of God in my soul. Bless the Lord. You can be seated. I saw it like that. I saw it like that for at least an hour and a half. It was closer to 2 hours. But I want to be safe and say it was an hour and a half. Long time. Saw it hard like that. After about an hour and a half, 2 hours of seeking, I was so tired. I had one fell up under this arm. One fell up under this arm. Never met either one of them before in my life. And instead of shouting glory, by this time we just kind of swaying back and forth. Saying glory. And I turned to one of them fellows and I said, you know what? I said, I sure am tired. I said, would you let me sit down? And he said, okay, you can sit down. And there was an old metal chair sitting over there in that altar area. Maybe somebody was praying at it. Maybe somebody put it over there for me to sit down in. I don't know, but I remember I walked over to that old metal chair. And I just sat down in that old metal chair. I remember as soon as I sat down, I don't even know, really, honestly, I don't even know if I knew that I was praying or not. But I remember as soon as I sat down that metal chair, I remember I got desperate with God. And I remember I just looked up. I don't know, don't remember if I really knew that I was praying, but I remember I looked up to God. I didn't even close my eyes. I just looked up and I said, Lord, I didn't know anything about Pentecost. Didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost, 13 years old. I said, God, I don't know exactly what I'm looking for tonight. And I said, I don't even know if I'm going to know when to get it. But I said, God, I want you to do to me whatever you want to do to me tonight. I no sooner got those words out of my mouth. There was another little old lady on the other side of that tabernacle, had her hair balled up on the back of her head. Them gray little haired ladies. She let out one of them old-fashioned war whoops. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about one of them shrill screams, make the hair stand up on the back of your head. Brother Huntley, I wish I had one of them little old ladies follow me around to every revival I preach. I'd park her behind a bunch of them old deadheads. I'd give her the signal and listen to her scream and watch them shout. My Lord, I wish I had the voice to do it right now. I'd do it right now. She let out one of them old-fashioned war whoops, came dancing across the front of that tabernacle, got over there to me sitting in that chair. I suppose she meant just to lay her hand on me real nice, you know. But when she got over to me, you know, the power of God just got all over. And when she got over to me, she just rubbed her hand all over the top of my head like that. Said, God, give him the Holy Ghost right now. I'm going to tell you something. Something hit me in the top of the head. It wasn't her hand neither. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. And when I came to myself, I was laying out in the middle of the floor talking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Right there, God gave me the Holy Ghost. Yes! Ain't never been the same since. Ain't never been the same since. Everything about me's changed. I don't walk the same, don't talk the same. I don't look at things the same way I used to look at. Everything about me has changed. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You can sit down. I told you I was only 13 years old. And so I wasn't old enough to drive. And so every night, Dad was having to drop us off and come pick us up. And he didn't think there was any harm in it because every night he was picking us up, we were making fun at what was going on in that camp meeting. But I remember when we got in the car that night to take Jimmy home, Dad didn't say one word, not one word. The whole time we were taking Jimmy home, we let Jimmy off at his house. We started to back out of the driveway, and Dad put the car in drive, and we started off down the road, and he looked over at me, and he said, Thomas Richard Phillips! And I said, yes, sir. I knew I was in trouble. He said, Thomas Richard Phillips, he said, I want to know something. I said, yes, sir. He said, I want to know, have you been talking in tongues tonight? And I was scared of my daddy, Brother Abbott. I mean, I didn't talk back to my daddy like a lot of these kids do nowadays. I didn't talk back to my daddy. Didn't talk back to him. I remember we had a family reunion not too long ago, and my brother that's 8 years older than I am, I'm 28, he's well, however old he is, he said something, raised his voice a little bit to my daddy just a few weeks ago, and my daddy looked at my brother, and he said, are you talking back to me? My brother settled back in his chair and said, no, sir, I ain't talking back to you. I didn't talk back to my daddy. Still don't talk back to my daddy. He looked at me, he said, Daddy, he said, Tom, he said, were you talking in tongues tonight? And it scared me to death. And I knew we lived in a small town, but it didn't think it was that small. And so I looked at him, I said, Dad, what makes you think I've been talking in tongues tonight? What makes you think I've been talking in tongues tonight? He said, it's written all over you. I know you've been talking in tongues tonight. Ask God. Honey, when the Holy Ghost comes in, you're not going to have to try to convince anybody you got it. When the genuine Holy Ghost comes in, you're not going to have to try to convince your husband. You're not going to have to try to convince your wife. You're not going to have to try to convince your husband or your wife, your son, your daughter, your mom and daddy. Everybody's going to know all things have passed away. All things have become new. Go ahead and worship the Lord. My blessed Lord, my blessed Lord, my blessed Lord. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost in this place this afternoon. You can be seated. We pulled up in the driveway. Dad told me, he said, I want you to go to your room. Got out of the car and walked through the carport, through the back door, through the kitchen, then down the hallway, into my room, sat down on the edge of the bed, and Dad came in behind me with a Bible. He sat down on the edge of the bed beside of me, and he opened that Bible right there and tried his best with that right there to explain away the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. You might pull out an old, dry, dusty commentary that was written by some uninspired pen and try to explain the Holy Ghost away with that old commentary. You can't explain the Holy Ghost away with that right there. Honey, that's got Holy Ghost written all over it. That's got Holy Ghost written all over it. I love the Holy Ghost. 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 I like what I feel around this place this afternoon. I love the power of the Holy Ghost. My Lord, when I get to feeling a little down, when I get to feeling a little dry in my soul, I like to get in an old-fashioned camp meeting service somewhere. Let the power of God begin to fall. I like to get a re-baptism of the Holy Ghost all over again. I love the Holy Ghost. And he opened that Bible. And I know he really didn't do this. I know it seemed like to me he went through that entire book. I know he didn't, but it seemed like to me he did. I mean, it seemed like to me he started in Genesis and went all the way to Revelation. It seemed like to me he started at the table of contents and went all the way to the maps in the back of the book. It seemed like that. And when he got through explaining away the Holy Ghost, I mean, this is a smart man, seminary man. Right up here at Golden Gate Seminary. When he got through, he closed that Bible and he looked at me. And he said, now, Tom, don't you see you didn't get any Holy Ghost? All you did was just get a little emotionally excited. You didn't get any Holy Ghost. And he sat there and waited for me to answer him. It was not a rhetorical question. He was wanting to hear my answer. And I was very respectful, believe me. He made sure of it. But I looked at him and I said, no, Dad, I know I got the Holy Ghost tonight. I know it. I said, right now, I can't point you to chapter and verse. I can't show it to you in the Word of God. I don't know where it's found. I said, but if you'll give me just a little time, just a little time, I said, I'll find it. He said, is that all you got to say about it? I said, yes, sir, that's all I got to say about it. I got the Holy Ghost. He said, if that's all you got to say about it, he said, then as long as you live under my roof, as long as you live in this house, you will never go to another Pentecostal church again. You'll never go to another apostolic service again, another Pentecostal service again. As long as you live under this house, and as long as you live under this roof, in this house, you'll never go to another Pentecostal service again. And when he said that, he stormed out of the room. Left me sitting there on the edge of the bed, tears streaming down my face. The only words my mother ever said about it was this. She came to my door and she was crying. Apparently Dad had already told her what had happened. She came to my door, opened the door and said, Tom, how in this world can you do this to your father and me? You're going to be such an embarrassment to us in the church. And she closed the door. And I remember sitting there on the edge of my bed, And I remember Holy Ghost boldness came over me. I remember it just as if it was yesterday. And I remember wiping those tears from my face. And I thought to myself, you know what? I may not be able to get to a Pentecostal church, but can't nobody keep me from having church all by myself. You hear me? We had some woods out behind our house. We had an old garage. I didn't miss a day. I mean, it was a daily ritual. I didn't miss one day. I'd get out in them woods, or if it was raining or whatever, I'd get out in that old garage, and I'd get down between a couple of them old boxes, and I'd pray, and I'd have church all by myself. I remember seeing somebody in that tent meeting, and they got down in that tent meeting beside that old altar. I can remember them slapping that altar like that, and I remember them saying, God, let me feel it again. God, let me feel it again. God, let me feel it again. I can remember getting out on that old garage and slapping that old box. I didn't know how to pray, but I'd say, God, let me feel it again. God, let me feel it again. And I never prayed like that, but what God didn't let me feel it all over again. Somebody lift up your hand and say, God, let me feel it again. God, let me feel it again. God, let me feel it again. And I bless the Lord. Come on, some of you here this afternoon, you've been faithful to your church. You've been faithful to the prayer room. You've been faithful to all these things. But you need to say, God, I need to feel your power. I need to feel your glory. I need to feel a fresh touch of the Spirit of God. God, let me feel it all over again. I can remember setting my alarm clock for 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. Because if I knew if anybody caught me talking in tongues, I knew I'd get it. I can remember getting down beside that old bed, burying my head in that mattress, and putting my pillow over my head in the wee hours of the morning, talking in tongues and magnifying God. Oh, but you hear me this afternoon? I wasn't able to get to a Pentecostal church until I graduated from high school, until I was 18 years old. 5 years I wasn't able to get to a Pentecostal church, but you hear me. I never backslid on God. I never went back on God. I never lost the Holy Ghost. Never went back on God. You hear me? I get sick and tired, Brother Morton. I get sick and tired of young people coming up to me in 1998, wimping and whining around and saying, Brother Phillips, I can't make it. I can't make it. I look them square in the eye and say, that's a lie. You can make it. You can make it. You can make it. You can make it. Brother Emerson, I'm preaching the truth this afternoon. I ain't pinning any roses on myself, but you hear me, honey? If I can make it for 5 years without an apostolic preacher and without an apostolic church, I'm telling you, in 1998, you can make it. You got an apostolic preacher. You got an apostolic church. You got apostolic worship. You can make it. My daddy told me, he said, as long as you live under this house, under this roof, as long as you live in this house, you'll never go to another Pentecostal service again.
Just a few days after I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost on Friday night. Wednesday night, went to my dad's Baptist church. They didn't have service. They had classes. I remember I was walking down the hallway, my dad's educational wing, my dad's Baptist church. Walking down the hallway. There was a door ajar to one of the classrooms I was walking by. And one of the teachers was putting chairs around the table. She was getting ready for a little class. She had little kids. She was putting chairs around the table. Her name was Miss Shreve. Miss Shreve was putting the chairs around the table. And I came walking by. I noticed Miss Shreve was crying as she was putting the chairs around the table. And so I just stepped over the door and pushed the door open. And I said, "Miss Shreve, is there something wrong?" And when I said that, she just started squalling and bawling. And she started telling me what was wrong. She started crying. She said, "My husband's doing this, and my children's doing that, and I don't know how we're going to pay the bills, don't know what we're going to do." And I mean, she was just talking 90 miles an hour and telling things to me she had no business telling to a 13-year-old boy, but she was telling me, pouring her heart out to me, and talking 90 miles an hour, and I mean, I just standing there with my hands in my pocket listening to everything she had to say, and she just talking, sharing all, and all of a sudden she had to come up for air. I mean, all of a sudden she had to take a breath. And you know how new converts are. I mean, folks just got the Holy Ghost. You know how they are. I mean, they're just excited about everything. And she just going on. Finally, she had to take a breath. And when she came up for air in just a split second, she paused to take a breath. I jumped in. I said, "I know what you need." She said, "What do I need?" I said, "You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost." She said, "What's the baptism of the Holy Ghost?" I said, "Oh, I don't know much about it either." I said, "I'll just tell you what happened to me." I said, "I went down to this camp meeting last week. We went to make fun of what was going on in that camp meeting. We went all week long, but on Friday night of that camp meeting, I said, I walked down the aisle to an altar. I went through the whole story. I didn't know any better. Went through the whole story. I said, I knelt down at this altar, asked the Lord to forgive me my sins, started to get up. The lady pushed me back down the altar, told me I wasn't through praying yet. I said, I danced around, hopped around on one foot, and then I said, I sat down in a chair, and a lady come along, rubbed me on top of the head, said, 'God give him the Holy Ghost right now.' I said, I fell out in the middle of the floor, began to speak in a language I've never learned before in my life, but oh, I feel so different. God has changed me. God has changed me. Everything about me has changed." She said, "Do you reckon the Lord will do that for me?" I said, "Yeah, the Lord will do that for you." She said, no, you don't understand. She said, I mean, will the Lord do that for me right here, right now?" I said, "Yeah, the Lord will do that for you right here, right now." She said, no, you don't understand what I'm saying. She said, "I mean, can you give me the Holy Ghost?" I said, "Yeah, I can give you the Holy Ghost." She said, "Well, tell me how to get it. Tell me what I got to do to get it." Now, I'm not preaching new doctrine here. I'm just telling you what happened to me, and that's all I'm telling you what happened to me. She said, "Tell me how I can get it." I said, "You really want it?" She said, "Yeah, tell me." I said, "You really want to know what you got to do?" She said, "Yeah." I didn't know any better. I didn't know anything about this thing. I'd only had the Holy Ghost just a few days, 13 years old. She said, "Tell me how I can get it." I said, "You see that chair right there?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "You're going to sit down in that chair. I'm going to rub you on top of the head. You're going to fall out in the middle of the floor. Start talking in a language you never learned before in your life." Say, "What happened, Brother Phillips?" She sat down in that chair. I walked over to her like I knew what I was doing. Rubbed her on top of the head. Said, "God, fill her with the Holy Ghost." She fell out of that chair. Started speaking in other tongues. As the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Right there, God filled her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God! Glory to God! Oh, I said something, "God, hold of me." I said something, "God, hold of me." I went there to fight, but oh my, that night, something, "God, hold of me." Come on, somebody, let something get a hold of you this afternoon. I'm already over my allotted time. I got to hurry. There she was laying out in the middle of the floor. I didn't know what to do with him after that. I hadn't been around Pentecost that long. I didn't know you were supposed to throw a towel over him. And she's a big woman. I wasn't about to get her up out of that floor. All I knew was that mama's was about to start getting there with them kids. My daddy's a pastor of the church, and I didn't want to be there. So I did what any normal 13-year-old boy with or without the Holy Ghost would do. Man, I split. I got out of there. Praise God, give me another one. Hallelujah. Miss Shree finally got up out of that floor. And what I'm about to tell you, I didn't know anything about what I'm about to tell you. I didn't know any of it until much later. But Miss Shree got up out of that floor. And the next day, she went over to another one of my dad's members' houses. Her name was Dee Dee. And they said, this is what they told me later. I didn't know any of this until much later. But Miss Shree, they said, Miss Shree went over to Dee Dee's house, and they said they were sitting at the kitchen table. And Miss Shree looked at Dee Dee and said, you know what happened to me last night? Said I was in my classroom minding my own business. And old Tom come along and told me I need the Holy Ghost. And you know what he made me do? He made me sit down in a chair. He started rubbing his hands all over my head. And when I came to myself, she said I was stretched out in the middle of the floor, talking in language I ain't never learned before, and he wasn't anywhere around. But she said everything about me changed. I feel so different. I can't explain to you how I feel. I've never felt like this before. And they said, Dee Dee said, well, you reckon the Lord will do that for me? Do you reckon the Lord will do that for me? And Miss Shreve said, yes, the Lord will do that for you. She said, you reckon the Lord will do that for me right now? Oh, yes, the Lord will do that for you right now. They said Miss Shreve started to stand up, and when she started to stand up, Dee Dee started to stand up. And when Dee Dee started to stand up, Miss Shreve said, hold on, you don't need to stand up. She said, why is that? She said, you're in that chair just exactly where you need to be. Dee Dee said, why is that? Miss Free said, because when I get through praying for you, you're not going to be standing, you're not going to be sitting anyhow. She said, where am I going to be? She said, you're going to be out in the middle of the floor. You're going to be laying right down there. They said that Miss Shreve leaned over to Dee Dee like she'd been doing it all her life and just rubbed her on top of the head, said, God, give her the Holy Ghost right now. Dee Dee slipped out of that chair onto that kitchen floor, started talking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave me the utterance. Right there, God filled her with the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, that's the kind of revival that God's wanting to give us in the United Pentecostal Church. I'm not talking about the kind of revival, Brother Morton, that we're sitting them in chairs and rubbing them on top of the head. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the kind of revival that'll spread from this one to that one, from that one to the other, from the other to that one, from that one to the other. Our altars are not the only place they can get the Holy Ghost.
They can get the Holy Ghost at Walmart. They can get the Holy Ghost at the supermarket. They can get the Holy Ghost at McDonald's. They can get the Holy Ghost out in the parking lot.
While Dee Dee was laying on the floor talking in tongues, her mama came walking into the room. Nobody knew that her mama had been reading up on this. Her mother came walking into the kitchen, saw her daughter laying on the floor talking in tongues, and immediately knew what it was. Immediately. Saw her daughter talking in tongues, and her mama lifted up her hand. That's what she told me later. She said, I'd heard it on the radio. I'd heard preachers preach about it. I'd read books about it. I'd read tracts about it. I'd read all of it, but I never thought I'd ever see it for myself. She said, but I knew immediately what it was. She said, here my daughter has just received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She slipped her hands up in the air to thank God for filling her daughter with the Holy Ghost. Nobody touched her. Nobody laid a hand on her. But while she was worshiping God, thanking God for giving her daughter the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord fell upon her. And she began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave her the utterance. Right there in that kitchen, God filled her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I didn't know any of that had happened. Didn't know any of it happened until the following Sunday morning. It started out like any other service in my dad's Baptist church. The choir just got through singing and they sat down. Amen. My dad got out of his big Baptist chair and came walking up to the pulpit. Opened his mouth to say whatever he's going to say to Miss Townsend, sitting right over here on the organ. My dad opened his mouth to say whatever he's going to say, and all of a sudden Miss Townsend said, Pastor Phillips, can I testify? And my dad didn't know what to do, so he said, oh, go ahead. The reason I won't never forget it, she got up from behind that organ. And she had one shoe on, one shoe off. She had taken a shoe off to play the pedals on that organ. She came limping out from behind that organ. Came all the way in front of the communion table. And she was crying. And she looked at my daddy and she said, Pastor, you know what happened to me last night? She said, I was at my house minding my own business. And somebody come along and knocked on my door. And she said, when I went to my door, she said, who do you think it was? She said, it was Miss Reeve and Dee Dee and her mama and Doreen, another one that they had prayed for at the local Jack's restaurant. And God filled her with the Holy Ghost at Jack's restaurant. And said they were in the middle of a prayer meeting. And they said God interrupted their prayer meeting and told them to come pray for me. She looked at my dad and said, Pastor, you know what they did? They made me sit down in a chair. And they all got around me and started rubbing their hands all over me. And the next thing I knew, she said, I was up shouting and talking in a language I ain't never learned before in my life. I said, this thing's real. It's real. It's real. It's real. You can come on, give me some land of music. You can be seated for just a minute. I got to close it. I mean, I got so much I hadn't told, but I'm going. I got in the car that afternoon. We started home. Dad looked at me on the way home. He said, Thomas Richard Phillips. He said, this is what he said. He said, I want to know what you know about Miss Townsend talking in tongues. I wasn't lying because I hadn't heard anything yet. I said, Dad, this is the first thing I've heard about it. Hadn't heard nothing. He said, boy, are you lying to me? I said, no, sir, I'm not lying to you. He said, if I find out you're lying to me, I said, Dad, I'm not lying to you. Okay. Dad was hard against this message. He turned those ladies out of the church immediately, turned them out of the church. All these years, Dad's been against this message. Against this message. A few years ago, I was in the state of Florida preaching several years ago in Bellevue, Florida, and the pastor came to my door and knocked on the door and said, Brother Phillips said, Dad's on the phone. He wants to talk to you. I said, okay. I went to the telephone and picked the phone, and we carried on the conversation for a few minutes. He said, son, I got a question I want to ask you. And I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm on a committee here, and he said, the preacher's on the committee here. He said, they've heard about you. And I said, oh, is that right? I just closed 3 revivals in that area, and a lot of Baptist folks got the Holy Ghost. And he said, they've heard about you. And he said, we've been in committee meeting, and he said, they want me to ask you something. And I chuckled because I thought what he was going to say is, they want me to ask you not to come back. I thought that's what he was going to say. And I said, oh, what do they want you to ask me? And he kind of hem-hauled around a little bit. And finally I said, well, Dad, just go ahead and ask me. He said, well, what they want me to ask you is this. He said, we got our ministers' conference coming up. And what they want to know is if you'll come preach our ministers' conference. I said, what? He said, yeah, they want you to come preach our ministry. I said, well, Dad, did you tell them what I was? He said, I told them. I said, well, did you tell them what I believe? He said, I told them. I said, did you tell them what I preach? I told them. I said, did you tell them how I'm going to act when I get there? He said, I told them that too. I said, well, let me check my schedule. Yeah, I'll be there. By the way, when is it? And he told me, and I flew in, and just a few years ago, I listen, you might find fault what I'm about to say, but I'm not compromising our message. I stood before a group of hungry-hearted Baptist preachers. And say, Brother Phillips, did you water it down any? My Lord, no, I didn't water it down any. I thought I may not get this opportunity again. And I'm going to use what I got. I'm going to use it. I'm going to preach it. And you hear me, saints. There is a way of preaching this thing without being offensive. Jesus met that little woman at the well. He made her hungry for the water. There's a way for us to make people hungry for what we got. You don't have to carry a big old 10-pound family Bible under your arm and slug them over the top of the head and make them get what you got. You can make them hungry for what you got. And I got up there and preached. And when I got through preaching, my dad had never heard me preach before. Never heard me preach. And I got through preaching. Put the microphone down. Walked out from behind that pulpit, and Dad was sitting right over here. And as soon as I came walking out from behind that pulpit, Dad came walking out from behind his chair where he was sitting, tears streaming down his face. Met me right here in this altar area, wrapped both of his arms around me, and he said, son, I had no idea you could preach like that. He said, I had no idea. He said, I have never in my life been more proud of you than I am right now. He said, I want you to come preach in my church. He said, will you come preach in my church? I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That director of missions got back up behind that podium, similar to our presbyters, got back up behind that podium, looked at that group of Baptist preachers, said, "Brethren," he said, "we have heard something this morning that we have never heard before in our lives." He said, "Brethren, we have heard this morning that there is more to this thing than just an altar of repentance." He turned around to me. By this time, I was standing right back here. He turned around to me, stretched his arms open. He said, "Brother Phillips," he said, "would you please come to preach to us again at our next minister's conference?" And he said, "when you come back, preach some more of that Pentecostal doctrine." He said, "we need that. We need that. We need that." Come on, saint. This world is sick and tired of dead preachers preaching dead sermons to dead congregations. They're ready for something with some life. And United Pentecostal Church has got it. It's time we get it out to this whole world. Oh, lift your hands and glorify the Lord. Lift your hands and glorify the Lord. I did go and preach for my dad, and I don't have time to tell the story. I did go and preach for my dad, but very quickly. I got through preaching one service. After I got through preaching, Dad stepped up behind the pulpit, tears streaming down his face, was dropping, tears dropping on to the pulpit. He started to pray, got a hold of the pulpit like that, and started to pray, and I was standing behind him. He started to pray, and he'd say something all of a sudden, something that hit him, and he'd kind of shake like that. He'd pull back like that. He'd step back up and grab a hold of that pulpit and start to pray, and he'd shake and pull back like that pulpit was plugged into something. And I was standing up back there, and I said, "Go ahead, Dad, go ahead, just pray." He stood up there and grabbed a hold of that pulpit, and I thought I was going to come unglued when I heard him say what he said. He said, "God, I don't care if I ever preach in another Baptist pulpit again." He said, "I just want you to fill me with the Holy Ghost." We hadn't got him filled just yet, but my God is still working on him. I believe before too long, he's going to be baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues. My allotted time is over. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. You're here tonight, this afternoon. You'd say, Brother Phillips, I'm here this afternoon. As you're preaching, I feel the Spirit of the Lord moving into my heart. I need the Lord to touch me. I need the Lord to move upon me. I need the Lord to rejuvenate me. I need the Lord to refill me. I need the Lord to give me a fresh touch. If that's you I'm talking to, I want you to put that hand way up in the air. Say, "That's me you're talking to right now. I need the Lord to touch me. I need the Lord to touch me. I need Him to touch me." If you've got your hand in the air, quickly, I want you to get to the nearest aisle. Quickly, get to the nearest aisle. Quickly, don't think about it. Get to the nearest aisle. Get to the nearest aisle. Get to the nearest aisle. Get down to this altar in Jesus' name. 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 It's time to pray. God's wanting to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. I know it's
hallelujah.
Real. It's real. It's real.
Hallelujah.
I know
hallelujah.
It's real. This Pentecostal blessing.
And I know it's real.
Well, it's real.
It's real.
I know it's real.
It's Pentecostal blessing.
And I know
it's real. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. It's Pentecostal blessing. I know it's real. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. It's Pentecostal blessing. I know it's real. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. It's Pentecostal blessing. I know it's real. It's real. Real. I know it's real. It's Pentecostal blessing. I know it's real. It's real. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I know it's real.
Come on, it's time to get the Holy Ghost. It's time to receive the Holy Ghost. You can have it this afternoon. Sensitive to the needs of those around you. If you see somebody seeking after the Holy Ghost, lay your hand on them. Pray for them in Jesus' name.